deciding which video game you're gonna play. You fight with your family over which is better, Marvel or DC. The geek of all of your friends, 'cause you know what, Batman beats Superman. This is the right place to be, so turn up the volume, 'cause you're an alter geek. Alter geek. Get altered. Geek, geek, geek. Alter geek. From Star Wars to Star Trek, comics to tech. Alter geek. Get altered. Geek, geek, geek. Alter geek. Pull up a chair, 'cause you're an alter geek.
Hello and welcome to Alter Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode, I'm flying solo. This is episode 299, of course, and we're going to cover a multitude of things from Lethal Weapon's return and my thoughts on that, Google's ex-CEO and his thoughts on the internet splitting in two by 2028, fan engagement, Streets of Rage 4, the problem with too much technology, Amazon opening 3,000 stores and what that could mean for Walmart and Kroger and places like that, fall TV always being here, and of course, podcasting. So hopefully there's something in there that everyone will like, to some degree, anyway. So, before we get into the Lethal Weapon information, TGIF, the old ABC staple of Friday nights, is returning. And it's kind of funny that this would finally kind of come back. And I'm not really all that surprised, being that people really don't go anywhere anymore. They stay in their house. It's kind of, there's really no activities like there was in the 90s, which is why TGIF started kind of going away towards the end. People were still kind of socializing at that time, and then programs started going away, and people stopped going out, and lo and behold, here we are. Everybody stays at home, plays games, or watches streaming, or whatever. So, ABC's new TGIF lineup encompasses with Speechless, Fresh Off the Boat, and another show that's, I forget what it's called. It's something like child support, I think. Anyways, it's got kids talking on it. It's got like Ricky Gervais and Fred Savage, which funny enough, Ben Savage and Jaleel White are guest starring on a couple of new TGIF staples. So Ben Savage is returning to TGIF with ABC's Speechless, which is moving to fall on Friday nights. In the season 3 premiere, Savage will guest star as a real estate agent. And then Fresh Off the Boat will be after that, which will feature Jaleel White from Family Matters, Steve Urkel, another TGIF alumni, which he'll be on that. And then, of course, they'll have the other shows. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure what to think of the TGIF, but again, like kind of like something we mentioned in the latest All Things Transformers is a lot of the stuff that's coming out now really doesn't apply to our generation for the most part. So it doesn't really bother me in the slightest that they're bringing back this marketing gimmick, because honestly, it kind of worked back in the day. I used to watch Boy Meets World every Friday night on TGIF. I used to watch Family Matters. I used to watch Step by Step, it kind of works. It's I totally get the reasoning for their new lineup, as it were, and it starts at on Fridays at 5 o'clock now, which I don't remember how early they used to start before. I think it was like 7. And they used to go to like 10 o'clock at night, which was kind of, or maybe like 9, somewhere in there. I mean, they were half hour shows, so I'm not really surprised in the slightest. So before I get into Lethal Weapon, TV Line actually breaks down the fall premieres for 2018 of shows that are coming out on a massive calendar between September and October. And really the only ones that apply to me that I care about, and I know that there's some that everybody likes on these. I care about like The Big Bang Theory because more so it's going to be ending this year. So I look forward to seeing what they do with it, whether they wrap up a lot of the plot lines, and kind of break out of that stereotypical nerd role, that's on there. Lethal Weapon, of course, has already come back with its first episode since, the whole shakeup with losing, Riggs in the show, the actor that played him, who was spectacular in that role. And I'll get into my thoughts on Lethal Weapon in a minute. They've got the Murphy Brown revival, which I'm not going to be watching, but I just think it's funny. Big Bang Theory is going to be moving to Thursdays again. Last Man Standing revival premiere is the 28th of September, today. So it's... I'm looking forward to watching this. I'm really excited to see this back, albeit on Fox. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. Saturday Night Live, of course, on Saturdays is returning. Simpsons returning on Sundays, on its staple time. And then it goes a little while before there's another show that's something I would sit and watch anyway. Shark Tank comes back on October 7th, which I enjoy just because I like seeing the crazy things people come up with. And then, of course, October 9th, we get The Flash at 8 and Black Lightning at 9. I'll be watching The Flash. And then we get Supernatural back on the 11th, which I am not going to be watching anymore. And it looks like Titans is going to air on the DC Universe weekly on the 12th, on Fridays. I may or may not watch that. I don't really know yet. It just kind of depends on how dark it is. I'm not a big fan of DC's diving all in on the darkness train that's like their DC Extended Universe. The CW I enjoy much more just because it's not as dark. But again, we've seen are like teasers and images so far. So it's not really a... true vision of what we're getting. I mean, trailers can be deceiving, and that's kind of what I'm getting at, is until I actually see it, it's going to be hard to judge it. And then Supergirl's coming to Sundays on the 14th, I'm not sure if I'm going to jump on that bandwagon again this year. I watched Black Lightning for season one, and it was good, but I just don't really care to pick up another show. Supergirl, I may or may not drop it. It just depends. The new Charmed premieres on the same day, and I'm not going to be watching that, but I just think that it's kind of note to bring up. And then Arrow comes back on the 15th, which I'm looking forward to. And then on the 16th, The Conners, which is the spinoff of Roseanne. I'm interested in seeing what they do with it, just because I wasn't a fan of the original show all that much, but I liked the revival for what it did. In the little bit I watched, but it was more so because there really wasn't anything else for me to watch, and so I watched it. So I may or may not stick with that. It's just something I was watching just to fill the void, as it were. Probably won't be watching it, to be honest. And then late October and November premieres, Legends of Tomorrow comes back on the 22nd, which I will be watching. They've got the new Sabrina show starting on Netflix on the 26th, which I won't be watching, but it just of note of revivals. And then also we get into mid-season premieres. We get The Blacklist, which I'll probably watch when there's a lull in programming. That's usually when I catch up on that. Same thing with Gotham. That'll be coming back in the mid-season premiere as well. And iZombie... and yeah, that's about it. And then of course we've got Star Trek Discovery and the Orville coming back in January or February, somewhere in that neck of the woods, among other shows. And So yeah, there's a ton of stuff to look forward to that's coming out. And yeah, it's going to be interesting on that. So getting into Lethal Weapon, season 3, without giving away spoilers, obviously they alluded to the fact they were going to kill Martin Riggs at the end of season 2, just because the actor had been shot, and because Clayton Crawford was fired from the series, obviously they had the opportunity here with that final shot to remove him from the show. And in something that he could have been saved or incapacitated through season 3, they opted to have him die. And then Murtaugh just wouldn't let it go. And then I won't tell the story behind the new character that Sean William Scott's playing, but he's got kind of a rookie vibe to him, but he's also got kind of a Riggs and Murtaugh vibe at the same time. So it's kind of this nice amalgamation of, and they even make a comment in the episode of not trying to replace Riggs, and they mesh really well together, just because he's kind of he's quirky, kind of like Riggs, but he's also quirky like Murtaugh. So it's kind of, I think it's going to work. I really do. I think that, and I was kind of unsure with them getting rid of Riggs, but it kind of puts a new spin on it. So this rookie, Wesley Cole, is his character, and they put an interesting twist on it. That's all I'll say. If you're kind of on the fence about season 3 because of the fact that they got rid of Riggs, I would suggest putting that aside and just checking it out, because the writing and the action on this show are stellar, and I think that he's going to fit in rather well. And he's broken in a sense like Riggs and Murtaugh were, but it's different. So I would definitely say it deserves a revisit if you were on the fence. So definitely check it out. So moving on to the Google ex-CEO saying the internet will split in two by 2028. I found this in more so, I'm kind of going through like a bookmark list of my phone, because I tend to open up like a crap load of tabs, and for whatever reason, I don't close them out. So they just kind of sit here and just collect and collect and collect. I'm going through kind of purging it at this point. So where we're going with this is Alphabet, or Google's executive chairman, Eric Schmidt, spoke at the 2017 SALT conference in Las Vegas. He believes the internet will split in two within a decade. He told an audience at a private event in San Francisco that he foresees a break between the Chinese-led internet and the non-Chinese-led internet. So basically saying that Google has recently come under fire over plans to expand into China with Project Dragonfly. So he predicts that the internet will split in two in the next decade, basically saying that that the most likely scenario now is not a splintering, but rather a bifurcation into a Chinese-led internet and non-Chinese internet led by America. So he's predicting this anyway. I don't foresee that. But at the same time, there's a lot of garbage on our internet that's probably not needed there. So I wouldn't put it past them, because they have a lot of censorship and control over their internet and their products and their services over there in China. So it's not surprising, but especially with the way our economies don't mesh very well, and the fact that Google has its hands everywhere. They Yeah, they're basically censoring versions of Google search there, so it's kind of a sticky situation. So it's hard to say if they're going to do that or not. I think it's kind of ridiculous that there would be two, but same token, like if the country's like that and they heavily regulate everything, kind of like how here is getting, with everything. It's bound to happen, or something's bound to go wrong with this. So again, not really surprised all that much, because it kind of happens in that neck of the woods, especially with all the recent stuff that Europe's done with the copyrights and everything else. So I think something that's a little bit more fun is the fan engagement. I saw an article on Film Daily, which talked about people having the power, why fan engagement is the future of TV. This is kind of a double-edged sword, because it can be good in the instance, because they mentioned how Freeform had canceled, basically, Shadowhunters, meaning the second half of Season 3 would air in 2019 and feature the last ever episodes of the horror show. So fans were campaigning to save the show online since, and that a decision was made after the network's co-production partner lost its output deal with Netflix, putting a bigger financial burden on the show, basically. Not much different than what would have happened to Discovery had CBS not taken the boat and moved it over to their platform completely, in kind of away from the Netflix money. But it says that, they decided the economics couldn't handle it. So it's frustrating for fans because it's a monetary problem and it wasn't based on content or ratings, but sheer money. So it also shows, too, that, you know, fans do have some power, because a lot of shows, not necessarily that one, can be revived. And you look at a lot of the shows that have been canceled recently, and moved to other stations, like looking at Last Man Standing, or I believe Brooklyn Nine-Nine was moved too, for the same reasons. And fans, you know, even with Timeless, which was canceled and renewed within 3 days, because of fan outcry, fans have this power on social media and you know, the hashtags and everything else, where shows can get canceled and picked up at other networks. I mean, Supergirl had it kind of happen. You know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Timeless, Last Man Standing. So it kind of goes on and on and on. And then fans kind of gloat, oh, we did it, we got loud enough, we were heard, we saved the show. But it's also kind of a double-edged sword, too, I feel, because we as fans tend to feel very entitled for something that, yes, we watch it, and yes, we purchase anything that has to do with said show that we enjoy or love. But we get entitled, like almost too entitled, like attached to it. Like it's our thing. Like we created it. We're the only reason it's here. And it's not necessarily true. And that's kind of like where a lot of the fan outcry and rage comes from, is because we get so entitled and possessive over something that we don't own, that we believe that, you know, we're the only ones that can control it. And they should make the show that we want because of X, Y, Z. And you know, I fall into that trap too sometimes. It just depends. And I'm not saying it's right either way. It's just we all kind of fall in that boat. And each generation, like specifically with Transformers and Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers, you know, each generation has what started them in those franchises, which gave birth to, you know, the continued products for the rest of the series, or the continued revivals for other aspects of those, for, you know, the fans that grew up with a different iteration at a different point in time. And I mean, kind of looking at it now, I mean, we've got the new Bumblebee movie coming out, and it looks very G1-esque, and we just had G1 the movie get re-released in theaters last night, and it's really interesting when you look at it, seeing all that can be accomplished through nostalgia and through the power of social media. But at the same time, it even goes back to that truck not monkey thing, you know, people just flipping out over different aesthetics and looks. And I've been guilty of it, even on this show, like with Reboot, with Thundercats, with really anything. But I mean, we can either choose to, yes, like I love continuity in certain things, especially when it's like a series like Star Trek. Like, it drives me nuts when stuff doesn't make sense, when it's supposed to, they claim it's supposed to go to something. But at the same time, like, you kind of have to shut some of that off in order to enjoy the medium, or in order to enjoy something of it. Because, again, we get attached to something. We like it the way we like it. You know, we don't like change. We're like, no, this is how I want it, and it's really not up to us. I mean, yeah, we can get a show revived if we really enjoy it, if there's enough outcry at another station, but... you know, we do hold the power in that sense, whether a show permanently stays dead. But we really don't... I guess the fandoms get kind of cocky and just downright mean with it when they are like, oh, I got the power, because, you know, they start campaigning for something they don't like, or an actor that they don't like or like, and put pressure on the people that are producing the shows. And it just, I don't know. It's kind of a weird area to be in. So I don't know what you guys think about that, but that's kind of my thoughts on it. But you know, I guess I'm just kind of coming into that because I see enough of it, kind of going around on the internet, and people are just, I don't know, just kind of mean about it and kind of shoving it in their faces. You know, I see so much hate on people liking different shows, and it's even going around. I mean, it's been happening for generations. I mean, even there was articles on the next generation of Star Trek coming out, and oh, blah, 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 it won't last, oh, it's going to be garbage, blah, 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 like, just, you know, in like TV Guide articles and everything, because it's not the original series. So it's all relative. So here's something that hits close to home. I found an article on Ecomedia which talks about too much technology and children growing up with weak hands and fingers, which I could kind of relate to, because I have a lot of, I don't know, nerve damage or hand and finger muscle issues from when I was a kid, not only from just playing with toys, but from electronics. And although I didn't have a Game Boy until I was about 10, 11, and I didn't own a game console until I was... I mean, I did play them at friends' houses, but I didn't have one of my own until I was about 16. Well, that's not entirely true. I had one at like 12 or 13. I had like a Sega Genesis, but still... they're saying that smartphones and tablets are convenient babysitters and pacifiers for bored or crying children, which I don't... Our kids are not allowed to do that. We don't do that, so... but it says that they may be preventing those children from developing the necessary hand strength to hold pencils, cut with scissors, and perform tasks generally, you know, children their same age could easily do just a decade ago. And... I will regard that with saying that, because I've used technology so much, that it's very painful for me to hold a pencil or a pen and write if I don't have a certain type of pen. Like, I have to use, like, the Uniball, where it's, like, kind of a... I don't know, it's a light touch because it's got, like, the leaky ink in it, so it doesn't really hurt my hand because I don't have to apply pressure. But if it's not those pens, it, like, kills my hands, and I've actually had hand spasms before, to where it will seize up my whole hand and it'll start curling in on itself, and then my elbow, like, I'll have to, like, grab my hand, and it'll cause a nerve kind of a spike in my arm. It's really weird. I haven't had it in a while, but I'm starting to get the nerve feelings again with the change in jobs over the last 2 months. Could be I don't have my gaming mouse, which is like the largest mouse I could get. They're saying that, yeah, it's some new review from the Heart of England Foundation reports that kids are coming into classrooms ill-prepared for writing and other activities that require finger muscle strength. And they're saying that pediatric doctors behind the report blame the, you know, technology and the lack of traditional activities young children often do, such as stringing beads, coloring, and other pastimes. And they're coming to school, you know, basically not being able to write with a pencil and increasingly not being able to hold it because they don't have the fundamental movement skills, which I'm thankful that my boys are, they color, they draw, they build with Legos, they do beads, play outside. I mean, it's just, we don't give them a ton of technology. So it's kind of nice, that they don't have all of it. And so I'm really hoping that they don't have the same issues with their hands that I do. Because again, it's probably why my hands are so bad. Come to think of it, I played with did all the same stuff my kids do, but then I got a computer at the age of 5 and, started learning the mouse and the keyboard and playing flight simulators and stuff like that. And, then playing game Super Nintendos at a friend's house. And like, so I have horrible, hand and, wrist and finger and, you know, elbow and, I don't know, joint issues. So, but yeah, it's kind of crazy that, you know, the virtual inclusion or exclusion of the more traditional toys, it can really make a difference in the coordination, the hand-eye coordination, or the movement of the hands. It says 10 or 15 years ago, we were getting referrals for kids with weak hands that had specific diagnosis like, you know, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and things like that. This is now we're getting kids referrals for these issues in increased numbers who have no known diagnosis. They're just your average child with no medical background, reason that would make them have this problem. And it's unfortunate, honestly. So, yeah, yep, it's technology at its finest. And then moving on, we have Engadget, which posts, Amazon could open 3,000 cashierless Go stores by 2021. It has opened 4 of those stores so far. So we'll see how far that record goes. They've opened 3 in Seattle and 1 in Chicago, and at least 1 on the way in New York. And there's 1 for San Francisco coming as well, which is just the beginning of the iceberg. But I think it's a little crazy that they're going cashierless. I don't know what you guys think about that, but I think that that's strange because... who are they going to, like, I mean, I know they're going to have people working in the store, but it's still just a little odd that they're not going to need somebody to ring people out. I just don't know how they're going to make that work. But it says that they're going to have as many as 50 in 2019, so I don't know how they're going to get to that 3,000 number by then. But it says that the first Amazon Go store needed more than $1 million worth of hardware. Focusing on prepared foods rather than groceries could help boost profit margins. Some of the existing stores are already doing that. Additionally, opening multiple stores in the same metro area could help minimize costs since they could, in theory, share a centralized food production facility. This is likely that some of the places affected by the cashierless stores would include, like, Subway, Panera, and Pret a Manger. Yeah, so restaurants allow for quick eating or convenient takeaway. So they're saying that Microsoft reportedly has its own checkout-free technology in the works, and Standard Cognition opened up a cashierless store in San Francisco earlier in the month. But the funny thing is it's having an impact on Walmart and Kroger, because the announcement, stocks sink on wild Amazon Go report. According to like Bloomberg, they say that a move would mark a significant ramping up of a concept that Amazon opened to the public only this year, and then spelled doom for traditional grocers, convenience store operators, and corner stores. And it says that both shares of Walmart and Kroger dropped, which cited anonymous sources. But I think it has something to do with the fact that Amazon is not going to have cashiers, and it's the fact that it's Amazon. Just to be honest, Amazon is a beast in the business world nowadays, and it's honestly kind of crazy to see a world we live in where you're getting to the point where you can just walk in and ring yourself up and nobody's there. Like it's I don't know. It still remains to be seen how they make this work, but yeah. So I think I'm going to cut this down. The next episode, I'm going to have an email from Scanner51. We're going to have Booth Ninja on, and we're going to talk about a few things. Maybe I'll highlight some of the episodes of Altered Geek I've enjoyed thus far with the 6 years in and 300 episodes. And kind of maybe tease some things for post 300, but I might take most of October off for the podcast to kind of retool, because at this point I'm not really sure where I want to go with the show, and I don't want to kill it because I do enjoy it, and it's you know 300 episodes strong, but I feel like I need to consume new information and find something that's going to work for the show, as well as provide value. Because I don't feel like this show provides as much value as what it could or what it used to. Not only because the lack of significant feedback, not only on the website, which I hope improves with the new site, but just in general, like I want to produce a better program. And in order to do that, I need to refocus my efforts and find out what you enjoy, what I enjoy. So I'm going to be kind of going back over old episodes and kind of seeing what kind of resonated with everybody, not only between comments, but downloads. And so I mean, we'll just kind of see how it goes. And hopefully we can come up with a mutually beneficial show that everyone enjoys. I'm kind of looking for a new, fresh theme for intros and outros. So if anybody has any ideas or thoughts of some really cool stuff that you want to send me or let me hear, send it to Steve at GeekCastRadio.com or feedback at AlteredGeek.com. Or if it's a link to something, just tag me on Twitter at SCP21. So I'm kind of hoping to see something come out of that. I do plan on having a rotating panel of co-hosts when the revival comes back, on starting with episode 301, and I'm not going to have the same co-host every week. It's going to be kind of a rotating panel based on topic and what they have to bring to the table. I'm also hoping to bring in interviews on the weeks I don't have a co-host, or if I'm flying solo, I'll have something else in that space, or maybe my own opinion piece. But I'm definitely looking to expanding it, and it's going to be more of a variety show than just covering news or a 20-minute conversation here or there. It's going to be kind of a nice little segmented show, but I'm shooting to do one a week. I know that I was going to do two this week, and then things kind of got away from me. So this is the one a week that we're starting, and so next week, Friday, I will have episode 300 out. I plan to do a little bit extra editing on the episode and adding some things maybe from the past. And because Booth Ninja and I are going to record that on Monday, and So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I hope you give me any feedback, constructive or otherwise, what you hate, what you like, what you hope to hear, or how to connect with me. I know I've done some kind of polls and surveys over the last couple months to kind of get ideas, but really looking for significant feedback. Always, topics are always welcome, as it makes it easier to converse and kind of come up with what you guys want to talk about as well. I know I didn't talk about podcasting, but honestly, the only thing that really came out is the fact that places like BuzzFeed and some other different podcasting companies like that have gotten out of the podcasting business, and it's kind of because, well, at this point, some of the companies just don't want to play the long game, and don't really have the vision to see it through. They're expecting like insta cash and do it now, and it's just not. They don't really have an end game or a mission, and that's kind of part of the problem, to be honest. And you have, when you have shareholders in your company and they're kind of calling the shots and they're like, oh, things aren't moving quick enough, or you know, your stakeholders, your staff, you know, with any radio company, it's one of the bigs, or the, you know, management's ability to dream up, clarify, and sell its vision to shareholders, stakeholders, or staff, making the difference between great companies and the also, you know, the ones that just don't get it. And it's not difficult to identify leadership that gets it. However, a lot of them don't. And that's the sad truth. And that's kind of the reason why a lot of these companies kind of are just getting out of the business, because they just don't have the vision, and the people that are paying the bills don't have the vision. So it's kind of just the lack of true direction, which leads to just people that are disgruntled as a whole. So it's kind of interesting that they're kind of crapping on podcasting when radio is kind of in this flux that it kind of sucks too. And it's more so because it's not resonating. Like, I haven't listened to traditional radio in over 10 years. When I used to listen to the local late radio station and win stuff, I haven't listened to actual radio in 10 years. I listened to what my previous employer had because that was a part of my job. But even now, I listen to one of the shows that I used to when I worked for them. And it's not even it's not even one of the shows on their network. I listen to this particular host on another network, which is Doc Thompson. So I listen to him on another podcast network. And what's funny is a lot of people that used to work at the place I used to work or used to have their show over there are now on this network. And so I actually prefer the new network over what I came from, because it's not the same conversation over and over every show. So yeah, so I'm just gonna leave that there. But yeah, the vision thing is that fundamental building block that sets the tone and lays out the path and paves the way for a future and a climate that is anything but predictable or certain. So you know, and I love Jacobs Media Strategies, which is jacobsmedia.com. They have a lot of commentary on podcasting and radio and the correlation between the two. So if you ever get a chance to go to that, some of the stuff that I referenced came from their article there, and then some of it's just things I've experienced myself. So yeah. So that wraps this episode up. So until next time, you can reach me on the Twitter at SCP21. Be sure to leave this show comments or ratings in or reviews in iTunes, please. I would really appreciate it. Even if it's even if it's not good, I would just at least appreciate something. And if you guys really dislike something or would like to see a change of any kind, just email me. Let me know. I good feedback, bad feedback. Any feedback is good feedback because it means that you're tuning in for a reason. And I, if I can produce something better for you, that's better for me. I don't do this for money. I do it because I enjoy it. If you're not enjoying it, then I'm not enjoying it. So that's kind of the boat I think from. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geek.